with a rival.
Yeah, because as we welcome in Greg Dooley, you'll hear him starting in 26 days on the KeyBank Countdown to Kickoff with This Week in Michigan Football History. And I know, Greg, you're looking forward to some of the great years that we have available to us this year. But before we can talk about the soccer game that you witnessed on Saturday and even the practice that was on Friday, Saturday morning, you were hanging out with Sam's guy, Groucho.
Yeah, so you guys got back-to-back sessions. First, we're going to take a beating from the SEC, and now I got to talk about Groucho. Boy.
Did you tell him I said hello? See, I actually have a better relationship with Mark D'Antonio than I do with Tom Izzo. Not much better, but better.
Listen, I was up for the juvenile diabetes walk up in East Lansing, and it's something my family's been very close to. My nephew was diagnosed when he was 4, and it's just a horrible disease, and people don't understand a lot about it. It's very different from type 2 diabetes, which I think most people know about. But anywho, they raised over $400,000, but the Michigan State football team has been associated with the walk from its inception. It started with John L., and as soon as D'Antonio arrived, he signed up to support it as well. Didn't know a thing about the disease, but I saw him literally 3 minutes before they started their first practice session. He showed up, spoke to the crowd, and it's one of those things where, you know, as a Big Ten fan and as a state someone in the state, it's one of those moments that you can be proud of what these football teams can do, how they can reach out to people, and how they can raise money. Again, over $400,000. They've raised millions of dollars since its inception 10 years ago, and it was awesome. And by the way, a shout-out to all the folks out there in Iowa with the retweets who supported me. I was able to reach my fundraising goal on mvictors.com, and it was an awesome day.
So before we get to the soccer part of the conversation, which is really why we're having you on, when he gave his speech to the crowd, did he take any unnecessary shots at Michigan, which he usually does?
He did not. He did not. And I think he knows this is a pretty big organization, and there were quite a few Wolverines, I think, in the crowd, including me, and he did not. He kept it real, and frankly, kind of like Paul Feinbaum, he doesn't really need 6 shots right now, does he?
Right.
He's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah. Until you get beat, I mean, you can kind of stand up on the perch a little bit and glare down at everyone. But there was a huge soccer game over at Michigan Stadium Saturday. Greg, I'm curious your take. There's a lot of red in that stadium. There's also a lot of beer, sounds like, around there.
Boy, first of all, I just assume, now you got to understand, I'm kind of more of the nerdy segment of the Michigan fan base. There are many of us out there. And I kind of assumed there would be a big overlap between the Michigan football crowd and what you'd see of the people who bought tickets to go check this out. And I really feel like this was a completely different crowd and a completely different fan base that got to experience Michigan Stadium. And I guess I was naive. I just assumed this would be filled, you know, 30-40% with traditional Michigan football fans. No way. No way. It was, and it was outstanding. And I think I'll say this, as a historian, I think this is something that Yost would have loved, to be able to use that facility in that way to get a whole new generation, a whole new segment of the population to enjoy that facility, and they did. It was an awesome event, and hats off to Hunter Lockman and all the guys and Dave Brandon for making this happen, because it was great.
Does it have any broader significance? I mean, we always ask this question when it comes to soccer, it seems, but the turnout for this game, does it mean anything bigger for the sport, or was this an exhibition unlike any we could potentially see here stateside in any time in the near future?
You know, the question's been asked since I was a small kid who played soccer, you know, until I played football, real football. I have no idea, Sam. I tell you, it was really cool, though, just to see the cultural mix of people. And I think people are going to pine to have something like this back again at the stadium, because I thought it just worked out almost flawlessly. The grass was outstanding. And, you know, the question is, do we create any new fans of soccer, and is it going to expand? I don't know, Sam. I really don't.
Did you buy a beer, Greg?
You know what? I wanted one because it was hot on the field. And I'll tell you, there were some people who got a little rowdy, But I think because the game is pretty short, relatively speaking, right? They're in and out of there in 2 hours. I did sense a lot of family-type environment there. There were a lot of young kids there. You know, my takeaway was not necessarily the beer, but all of the foreign languages I could hear being spoken and yelled down to the players in the field. People from all kinds of different walks and backgrounds. It was really cool to experience.
There was way too much red in that crowd, but I understand that Team Chevrolet was there playing. So I won't get into my whole I can't stand soccer uniforms because the logo should be the team logo, not the sponsor. That's really neither here nor there. But Team Chevrolet's coach ahead of time, before they won the game, made a lot of statements about how the pitch wasn't very good. Well, what do you think? You were on it.
I thought it was great. I asked their PR guy, and he said they were pretty happy with it. And I did see a couple guys slip and a few chunks of sod come up or whatever, I guess you'd call it. But overall, I thought it looked pretty good. And I'll tell you this. The other thing is, I think people were wondering how hard the players would be going out there. I'm a soccer fan. I'm definitely, though, a novice as far as strategy and stuff. But it looked to me like those guys were going hard. If you look at Wayne Rooney, kind of the big star for Manchester United, the red team, he was barking at the refs. He was barking at his teammates. Those guys wanted to win. The Ronaldo thing at the end was a riot. That was funny.
Now, Ronaldo wasn't supposed to play, right?
Yeah, so could you hear the women when he came in the game, that they screeched and squealed like the Beatles in 64?
Yes, and I heard it from my lovely wife Jessica that was the highlight for her, and I heard all the local newscasts, and oh my god. But I tell you, I will say when he was not supposed to play. We were handed a sheet before the game, the media members, with a list, and it was, you know, here's the roster, here's who's starting, here's who's the sub, and he had no, it was unchecked. In other words, he ain't playing, but he came out dressed. And then the rumors started to circulate that he might come in late in the game around the field. And when he got up to start warming up, it was like Elvis walking. I mean, it was crazy. And then, yes, you got the screams. I didn't see any panties or anything like that on the field, Sam. But it was crazy. It was crazy.
Probably the only thing preventing that from happening were all the kids there, because the moms might have done it if their kids hadn't been with them. I'm just saying.
I got to look at the dude, and I was trying to find some problem with him that I could point out, but I didn't see that. That's admittedly a good-looking man. That's a handsome dude.
At least you're confident enough in yourself to say that. One of the other things that's been going on in this event, which actually ends tonight down in Miami, I can't remember which location it was. They had at one point like 20 what they call pitch invaders. So there was one person that ran on the field after the game, but otherwise you were good enough to scare everybody away. They didn't run on the field.
I didn't go on the field, and boy, they had some serious security there. So they had some serious guys when we're talking ready to go. So I wonder if that prevented some folks. Plus, of course, the wall is a little higher around the stadium. It's a little bit of a drop.
Gotcha.
I have friends that have made that jump before after games. It is quite a jump.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, man, we are 26 days away from the start of the season. Can't wait to have your input again on the Key Bank Countdown to Kickoff. So really, really looking forward to it, man. And thanks for, as always, for your great insight. You are our feet on the ground over at the soccer stadium, over at the soccer game this weekend. So we appreciate that.
Well, I can't wait for this week in Michigan football, and Ira will back me up. The roster of games this year is going to be epic. So look forward to that. I look forward to seeing you guys in the tent in a few weeks.
See you in 26 days, Greg. We'll see you before. We'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Greg Dooley, folks, mvictors.com. Great site. No one does it like him. As a matter of fact, no one even tries to do it like Greg, what he does, covering the history of the Michigan, not just Michigan football program, but just the history of Michigan athletics.
And now Michigan Stadium. And Sam, breaking news. This is not sports related at all, but breaking news. We do want to pass this along. The water ban has been lifted in Northwest Ohio, according to the Toledo mayor. Drinking water for 400,000 plus residents is now considered safe once again. Now, I mean, you live in Ohio, so I don't know how safe it really is. Yeah. But so if you were filling your coolers, hopefully they were clean before you used them. All right, jokes aside, the Toledo mayor has said that the water ban has been lifted. We wanted to pass that note along to all of you out there, because obviously that's impacts a lot of you that are listening now.
We have some Toledo listeners and Sylvania listeners, and so
You know, Don, you can go drink your water again.
Yeah, we care about those folks that support us. Not all of them, but just a few of them. 9:35 on a Monday morning here on the Michigan Insider.
Since we have a minute real quick before we wrap up the segment, and we were talking with Greg about the soccer game, I only somewhat am joking about the fact that I don't like the uniforms. In the World Cup, they're fine because they just have the country on it, and if there's a Nike or an Adidas or something. But these huge shirt logos, my buddy who owns wearing a DC United shirt, it's got a big VW logo on it. Another friend of mine's wearing a Chelsea jersey, but you don't know it's a Chelsea jersey unless you know that they're Samsung. So I'm like, so Team Samsung, Team V-Dub, you have Team Fly Emirates is Real Madrid. Man U is Team Chevrolet. How about putting your logo on the front and making them?
That's their tradition, man.
Apparently it is, but you know what? All the people that complain about just an Adidas logo or a swoosh on your football uniforms or whatever it is in the NFL or in college basketball, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad because at least you still know who your team is and it's not based on who sponsored them. Because, you know, next year Chevy may drop out from Man U and it could be somebody else.
Oh, it will be.
It will be somebody else if Chevy dropped out. So that part I don't drives me. I don't like that part of it. But I'm glad the game's over. I'm glad they enjoyed it. I'm glad that Man U won for this one simple thing. Not because they wore red or their team Chevy, but I'm happy that they won. Because their coach did make those comments ahead of time about the playing surface. And now we remember when the playing surface was natural grass and it had a natural glaze over it. He would have hated that one more.
Right. You know,
he built in a, if we lose, this is why.
You know, I'm glad that it went off.
It's great for the city,
well.
Great for the county, great for the region. I'd be happy to have it again because it's great for the tax coffers. It's great for the local restaurants and hotels and gas stations and liquor stores, et cetera, and all the people that are parking, our friends at Park and Party. It's great for everybody.
Yeah. I didn't get anything out of it. You saw more than me.
I had a great tailgate. My buddy lives really close to the stadium, so I had a great tailgate, hung out there for about an hour and a half. Then I went and played golf. And you know what was great about that is I aimed for the blimp. Never got close, but I aimed for the blimp. Did you watch Tigers at all this weekend?
Yeah.
Then you got something out of it because you had blimp shots during the game, and the blimp was in town for the soccer game. So you got something out of it,
Sam. Gotcha. Yeah, you certainly saw a ton more soccer than I did.
It was on at the bar.
But you saw a ton more than me.
It was funny as we sat at Westside, and if you've ever been there, they have, three TVs at the bar itself. We chose the far right side because that's actually had the Royals-A's game on. And that was the game we were really watching, but soccer was on the speaker, so it was on the next TV over. So
a little bit of it. Did your wife go nuts over Ronaldo too?
No, her friend did.
Okay.
My wife, I don't think she did, but her friend definitely did because I heard all about it at dinner after the fact. No, my wife went to the game. She had a great time with her friends. I found them tickets on Tuesday, face value in the state, in the lower part of the bowl in the corner. They loved being down by where the corner kicks were behind one of the goals, and they had a great time. And people that went had a great time, and so I'm not poo-pooing that that was fun. I'm just glad it's over.
Gotcha. 9:38.
Now it's time for real football at Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. 9:38 on a Monday. We have to get to a break.
And we'll tell you how many days on the other side.
When we return here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports.